firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to...
Welcome to Through the Bible with Bible teacher Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Do you realize that we have a team of people who travel the world every day on our knees? Yep, that's right. We call ourselves the World Prayer Team, and we'd love to have you join us as we pray our way through cities, countries, and continents. You see, every weekday, our team receives an email that focuses our attention on just one country in the world and then tells us about a need, or maybe we read a letter from a Through the Bible listener that's in that part of the world. Most often we can relate to their heart's cry, and we can count it a privilege to intercede for them and other listeners like them in their country. So to join our team of faithful intercessors, you can go to ttb.org and click on the Pray With Us button. The host of this global tour, of course, is Through the Bible's President Greg Harris, who is also here with us today in the studio. So hi, Greg.
Hey, Steve.
Now this week the World Prayer Team is traveling through South Asia. And why don't you give us a glimpse of how God's honoring our prayers for his people and program in this part of the world? Because I know we got a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, we do. We have over 25 different languages where we broadcast the full 5-year Through the Bible program in India, a country that is quickly approaching China as the world's most populous. And many are predicting it will become the world's most populous and most densely populated country of that size. And so it's a staggering place. You've been there with me. To go to India, I always say, is to be changed. You can't, as a Westerner, go to India and not be touched by just the sheer masses, numbers of people.
Yep.
But one of the things we do, and I think why the World Prayer Today emails are so important, is, you know, numbers they don't really touch our hearts, but people touch our hearts. And we want to talk specifically about just one of those languages and then read some great responses from our Kannada program.
Right. And that's a language that's spoken by over 40 million people in the Western state of Karnataka. And by the way, we began broadcasting in Kannada back in 1986. So we've had a 33-year relationship with this part of the world. And we reach listeners also in areas referred to as Goa, Karnataka, Maharashtra, Andhra Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, and we're on the radio as well as the internet in that part of the world.
Yes, and our producer, Swatantra Kumar, I love saying his name, has been faithfully producing the program, and we get just some wonderful responses, and we want to share three responses from three listeners today.
Yeah, our first one, and all these, by the way, are from women, which is interesting,
In
a country where oftentimes women are not treated with
that
the most highest level
correct.
Of respect. Our family is from a different religion. Therefore, it is difficult for us to profess our faith openly. I came to know about your teaching many years ago. My mother is also a regular listener. We are often in touch with your Audience Relations Center in Bangalore. Please pray for us, as sometimes our faith wavers. My brother, who works in Dubai, has also accepted the Lord and is often in touch with your audience relations there. This is the world impact of Through the Bible, the fact that a Kannada listener has a brother who goes to Dubai and he listens in Dubai.
He comes to the Lord.
And he's a believer as well. Your programs and the people we talk with give us joy and strengthen our faith. We praise God for you.
And here's another one from Karnataka. I first heard of Jesus when I was 15 years old. I accepted him as my savior, but had nobody to guide me in my new faith. So I returned to the faith of my family. Mm. Very common story.
Yep.
During college, a friend who was a follower of Jesus told me about your programs. I started listening and reading the Bible. It was then that I shared my new faith with my mother. I am now married and have shared my faith with my husband and my in-laws.
Wow.
They permit me to read the Bible and pray, but only inside my room. Hmm. Whenever I visit my mother, we tune in and listen to your teaching together. I am grateful that my family permits my faith and pray that they, too, will believe.
Yeah. Well, if you could pray for this evangelistic mother, that would be a wonderful thing to do, because she is reaping fruit in that part of the world. Here's the last one I think we've got time for. I'm a nurse at a rather large hospital. Each day I tune the radio to your program and encourage all my patients to listen. While they listen, I pray for their salvation. This
Love
is
it.
Wonderful.
Love it.
It is my deepest desire that they will come to know about Jesus and accept him as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for helping me share my faith. What a picture. I'd love to be in that ward hearing Through the Bible taught.
Me too.
Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin our study?
Father, we're in awe of how you use your word to change people's lives. We pray you'd change our lives now as we study it together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, today, friends, we have come to this last section of 1 Thessalonians. And as I said last time when we went off the air, that we have 22 commandments here. The child of God is not under the Ten Commandments as a way of life. He's way above it. He's to live on a much higher plane. And here are some of these commandments. And they're very practical. Here is where the rubber meets the road, right here. Now, it's a wonderful, glorious thing to keep looking up for the coming of Christ. But it's also very important that we keep walking down here on the sidewalks, not of New York, but on the sidewalks of your town and mine, in the home and in the factory, in the office, in the schoolroom, wherever we are called to walk. Here are the things that he tells us that the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And there are many Christians haven't even listened to them yet. And here they are. He gives them out actually like military orders are given. They're brief and they're terse and they're barked out like a second lieutenant had given to it. And this military terminology here, as we saw last time, that we are to put on the breastplate of faith and the helmet of the hope of salvation. And now, beginning here in verse 11, he gives the first one. And they come here, it seems to me, in sort of bunches. That is, certain ones are related. We'll call attention to that. Now, in verse 11, we're to encourage one another. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. That's commandment number one. And that means that we're to encourage one another in the faith. And then two, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, they were doing this in Thessalonica. Edify means to build up one another. You and I should be a team working together. We should be giving out the word of God. And then he goes on to say, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And that's the third commandment. And then the fourth is verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And five, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, these three commandments right here seem to me to belong together. Understand those who teach the word. And it means that we should recognize them. Now, actually, Paul is speaking into the local situation in Thessalonica. Now, you'll recall he'd been there only just a month, less than a month, of course. And he had taught them. And the church began, we would say, from scratch. There wasn't a believer there till Paul arrived, did missionary work. So they've all been saved about the same time. Now, among those, there would be certain ones that would have the gift of teaching. And each believer is given a gift. I think the moment you're saved, those of you that have been with us through 1 Corinthians already know this, that every believer is given a gift. And you're to exercise it in the body of believers, to build up the body of believers. Now, there were some there that had the gift of teaching and preaching and helping them. And I have a notion that the attitude could be like this. Well, so-and-so and I, we were saved at the same time. I knew him when. Where did he get the idea that he can teach me? I was saved same time as he was. We should recognize in the church that certain men and women have certain gifts, and we should respect them. We should look to them. And he says here, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. The problem today is that the average teacher in the church, they pay no attention to them. And we've got a great many people say, oh, we believe the Bible is the word of God. Oh, we believe every word of it. Well, why don't they obey it? Why don't they listen when it's being taught? They don't. And it's almost nonsense today. And it's certainly hypocritical to talk about believing the Bible and then know nothing about it. One man said to me very candidly, he says, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. And he says, and I'm ignorant of what's between the covers. Well, he sure was. And the interesting thing is, that's almost an untenable position to hold. I think if you knew what was between the covers, you would believe it. But don't say you believe it and then be ignorant of it, because you betray immediately a hypocritical position. If you say you believe this is the Word of God, then this is the thing you should listen to. Therefore, those that are preaching and teaching the Word of God should be listened to. Now he says, the fourth commandment, verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. I have always appreciated people today who love the Word of God, because I've always found that they've become your friends. And I was telling somebody just the other day, one of the things I have so appreciated about this radio ministry are the number of friends that God has raised up to me across this country. Many of them have written and say their home is open to me. Well, I can't accept the invitations. I couldn't get around to all of them. And many of them say, you know, that when I'm in their town, they just do so many things for you. And they reveal a love. And my friend, when they reveal that love to me, because I'm hard to love, it reveals that they honor the Word of God, because they do believe I teach the Word of God, at least I try to. And then the fifth thing, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, all this comes together in one package. You can't have everybody running the church, and you can't have everybody running any kind of an organization that's Christian. You just have to have certain ones that are doing it. And I think the great problem in many churches today is that it's the case of the old cliché, the old bromide, too many cooks spoil the broth. You just need one to be the leader, and he is the one that should be followed. And when you have that, you have peace. But when everybody's trying to play his own little tune, you have anything but harmony and peace. So all of this goes together, you see. Now, verse 14, we have the sixth commandment here. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Now, you see, this would normally follow here. Warn the unruly. And the idea is those that are out of step. Now, there's some people that actually, they really get out of step. My feeling is they're loners. They don't work with the church. They do their own little thing, and they do not support the work of God. Warn them that are unruly, and comfort the feeble-minded. Now, what does he mean by comfort the feeble-minded? Well, what he means is the faint-hearted. He's not talking about those with mental problems. Comfort the faint-hearted. Help them to get in step. There are many people that are fearful to move out for God, and they need encouraging. There's many a saint today that needs somebody to put his arm around him and say to him, brother, you're going to make it. I'm for you. I'm praying for you. How wonderful it is. That is the most wonderful thing. I was introduced in San Diego by a pastor down there, and he says that this man has probably been prayed for more than any other man in the United States. Well, I don't know whether that's true or not, but literally it's now thousands of letters have come to us saying, we prayed for you. Prayed for you when you had the cancer spots on your lungs, and we still pray for you, and I certainly need it. May I say to you that we need that, the faint-hearted. Sometimes it's discouraging for all of us. Comfort the faint-hearted and support the weak. Now, there are those that are weak in the faith, and they cannot get in step. They're little babies. They wouldn't be able to march in step. And therefore, help them. Lift them up. It's like the story that we told about the little girl carrying this big heavy baby. And somebody says, little girl, isn't that baby too heavy for you? And she said, no, he's my brother. Makes a lot of difference, you see. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. And that means don't lose your temper. And now he's meddling, if you don't mind me saying that, because It's so difficult today, is it not, to deal either in business or in some public place with some cantankerous, unsaved, unholy, ungodly individual that definitely is trying to trip you or to abuse you in some way. Be patient toward all men. Don't lose your temper. That's what it means. Don't lose your temper. Now we come to the 10th commandment in verse 15, and he says here, and it's a very wonderful one, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Now, this is something that I think is very important, and in other words, don't fight one another. Don't render evil to any man, but follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Now today, as someone has put it, there are three philosophies of life. First, there is the standard that the pagan has today. This pagan world operates on a philosophy that you do evil in response to good. In other words, you get the other fellow before he gets you. You use any kind of a method. He may have treated you well, but if you can take advantage of him, you do that. That's a pagan heathen philosophy. Then there is the standard of the so-called, I suppose, refined and educated and cultured world, and that is, you do good to those that do good to you. Remember the Lord Jesus said, why, all these religious rulers, they always do good to those that do good to him. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party operate on that principle today. Somebody helps you get an office and you help him by maybe giving him an office. You know, you take care of your own. That's the philosophy of this so-called civilized world today. Now, the Christian faith has a little different philosophy. Do good to them that do evil to us. And my friend, that's contrary to the natural man. The minute that somebody hits you, you want to hit him back. You feel like hitting him back. And this is the philosophy that Paul is talking about here, that you are to not render evil to any man, but you're to follow that which is good, even to those that do evil to you. And now the 12th commandment is here in verse 16, and I think that you have three commandments that really go together. I've always felt that these go together here. In verse 16, rejoice evermore, or rejoice always. And it doesn't mean be happy. This is not the happy hour we're talking about. This is to rejoice. And Paul says in Philippians, and that he wrote at the end of his ministry, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. My, that's a commandment. You don't find that in the Ten Commandments. You have no right, my friend, as a child of God, to go around as a sourpuss. You've got no right to go around as a cantankerous individual. You are to rejoice evermore as a child of God. And how wonderful it is to be able to rejoice. And by the way, it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace. And if you can't rejoice right now, then begin reading the Word of God and calling on God to put joy in your heart. He'll do it. Rejoice always. And then, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, this has to do with an attitude of prayer. That doesn't mean you to stay on your knees all the time, but I think that it means to pray regularly and to be constantly, I think, in the attitude of prayer. And then he goes on and says in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, that's to give thanks in all circumstances, not once a year, but all the time. And he says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, if you would come to me and say today, what is the will of God for me? Well, I couldn't really tell you, but I can tell you three things here that's the will of God for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. That's the will of God for us. Now, verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Now, how do you quench the Spirit? Now, that's in verse 19. You see, the Holy Spirit, one of the figures that's used of the Holy Spirit, is fire. And how do you quench a fire? Well, you dampen it down and don't let it burn. To quench the Spirit means that you refuse to do the will of God. That is, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You refuse to let the Holy Spirit be the guide and to lead you. You've taken matters in your own hands, and you and I quench the Holy Spirit when we do that. And this, by the way, shows the Holy Spirit actually is a person, because you couldn't quench anything but a person, you know. You couldn't hurt anyone but a person in this connection. The same word that we saw back in Ephesians, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed under the day of redemption. Grieve, you have to grieve a person, can't grieve a thing, and there it means sin in the life. And here it means to quench not the Spirit, step out of the will of God, and then despise not prophesying. Now, what does he mean by that? That's verse 20. Do not look down upon Bible study as something beneath you. Do not be indifferent to the Word of God. We got a lot of folk in Christian service that are ignorant of the Bible, and they look down on Bible study. And I hear this every now and then. It generally comes from some ignoramus, and he makes a statement. He says, now you can just spend all your time going to Bible study, and you don't do anything. What you need to do is to get out and get busy. Well, what you need to do is to get busy studying the Word of God, and when you do that, you'll get busy. I remember when we had our Bible study in downtown Los Angeles, 21 years, we averaged 1,500 people every Thursday night. What a thrill that was. What a privilege that was. And every now and then, I don't know whether somebody was being a little jealous or not, but they'd say, oh, just to go and sit and listen to the Bible, you need to do something. You need to sit and listen to the Bible, friend. And if you do that, you'll do something. And today, I happen to know that there's several hundred people that are on the mission field. And there's several hundred today that are witnessing for God. And several hundred in the ministry that attended those Thursday night meetings. And the interesting thing is, I notice these boys who don't study the Word, they soon run down like an eight-day clock, and they don't last too long. We are told here, despise not prophesying, the teaching of the Word. Prove all things. Don't be taken in. And let me say this crude thing. Don't be a sucker today, friends. Just because somebody sends you a picture of some orphans or some people way off yonder and you don't know anything about them or some promotion job, investigate. I'd say to anybody that wanted to support this program, investigate us. Come out here in California and visit us. Let us show you what we're doing. Prove all things. Christians ought not to just be gullible. Hold fast that which is good. My, how wonderful these things are that he mentions here. And I think this is the answer for a questionable pastime. Abstain. This is verse 22 now, the 19th. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That's your answer. You question amusement. You say, is it right or wrong for me to do this? Abstain from all appearance of evil, friend. If there's any question in your mind, it must be wrong for you. Then verse 23 here. Man's a triune being, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That is, not perfectly, but we should reach a place of maturation. We ought not to continue to be babes in Christ. We should be growing. And therefore, sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we ought to mature. And faithful is he that called you also will do it. Now, the 20th commandment is in verse 25 here. Listen to it. Brethren, pray for us. The Lord has given you a commandment. You can't pray for Paul today, but you could pray for me, and I'd appreciate it. The 21st commandment, verse 26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. That's a commandment, by the way. Make sure it's a holy kiss. Verse 27, that last one. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And that's what I've done. I have attempted to read this entire epistle to you on the Through the Bible program. And now he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And I pray that that grace may be with each one of you, my beloved. Until next time, may God bless you.
Well, on that grace-filled note, we come to the end of our wonderful study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Tomorrow, we head straight ahead to 2 Thessalonians, so I hope that you'll be there and invite a friend to come along for the ride. Until then, if we can help you find a resource by Dr. McGee to deepen your personal study of God's Word, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And remember, you can always visit us online at ttb.org, and you can always write to us, Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you right back here for another great study in God's amazing Word tomorrow. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.